Okay, so I want to discuss tonight, and I apologize in advance. It might be a little bit of a shorter shiur than usual, but I didn't have quite as much time to prepare this time as I usually do, but I had some time. I wanted to discuss the issue of the seals and the tape, and we find that whenever whenever you get a delivery from, you know, you order in from some place that delivers. I don't know,
Amazon.
Not Amazon. No, I'm talking about food. I'm talking about
Gourmet Glot.
Okay, Gourmet Glot. Gourmet Glot is actually interesting. I was thinking about that. But let's say you order in from a restaurant. Okay, that's a little easier to understand. If you order in from a restaurant, so usually, and let's say they deliver, right? So by usually, the delivery person is not necessarily Jewish, certainly not necessarily from. Sometimes they are, but not necessarily, you know. And usually the way that it's delivered is, you know, the package is sealed up. You know, whether it's, usually there's some sort of tape on it or it's stapled up. When things are delivered to your house, that's usually the way that they are delivered. And the question is why, and is that a halachic concern? You know, what's the issue behind this tape? So in reality, there's actually an issue that many are not familiar with. It impacts, all of these type of things. It's mistakenly called basar shenis'alei min ha'ayin. Now, basar shenis'alei min ha'ayin means meat that you've, so to speak, lost track of. You know, it got out of your eyesight. Someone else, you left the room and you left it there by itself. And people think, you know, that this is a violation of basar shenis'alei min ha'ayin. If you look at source number one, basar shenis'alei min ha'ayin is a gemara in Chulin, and Rav states basar kevan shenis'alei min ha'ayin is aser. That if you have meat that you lost track of and you didn't see it for a certain period of time, then that meat becomes prohibited. Now the gemara goes back and forth. There's a long sugi here. I just brought one line out of context. But the Gemara tries to, clarify exactly what case we're talking about. And if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 2, when he discusses this halacha of basar shenis'alei min ha'ayin, so he's talking about a little bit, what sounds like a little bit of a far-fetched case. And he brings the following case. Tala kli malei chatichos basar. So let's say you have a kli, a barrel, a container, that's full of pieces of meat. And you hung it up, you pulled it up on the tree, you hung it up, and it's hanging now. And what happens? And, you leave. You go away, and the kli breaks. V'nishbar ha-kli, v'naflo achatichos la'aretz. The kli breaks, either it falls down, it breaks, someone throws something at it, it breaks, and all the meat falls to the ground. Okay, now you weren't here when this happened, right? You had put it up there safely, and now you come back. And now you come back and you see these pieces of meat sitting on the ground. Now you see the broken kli there and you see the piece of meat sitting on the ground. So the evidence would point to the fact that this is the same kosher meat that you placed into that receptacle, into that kli, and now it's just the piece of kosher meat on the ground. But ve'ein lo bahem lo simin ve'lo tviyas ayin. But there's no simin on them. It's not like, you buy a kosher chicken and it has a plumba on it. It has one of those tags that it's kosher. You don't even have tzvius ayin. One piece of meat looks like another piece of meat. They all look the same. Who knows? Maybe it could look like a treif piece of meat. It could look like a kosher piece of meat. You have no way of knowing. Says the Shulchan Aruch, harei ze aser. So the meat is aser. Right? Even though, again, all the evidence, if you ask the Nassau County detective, detectives, they'll tell you, well, it's obvious that the meat came from that container. It's not good enough for us, because who knows? Maybe somebody came along, they found this meat, it looked good, and they had some meat that didn't look as good, and maybe they took your meat and they put their meat down. You never know. So therefore, you have to be careful, and you can't eat this meat. Sheyesh lomar, you might say, oso basa shahaya bikli garaso chaya osheres. Now, the case of the Shulchan Aruch says, is not even a person, but let's say an animal came by. A bear comes by, he sees your meat, looks good, and he takes your meat. And this is some other meat. How did it get here? I don't know. Maybe the bear, took meat from Chris down the road, and he didn't like that meat, and he likes your meat, so the bear eats your meat, and he leaves, Chris's meat down here. So who knows? It might be treif meat. So again, it seems like a kind of like an outlandish type of case, a far-fetched type of suspicion, but nevertheless, that's what we seem to say, that it's problematic. Vimtalo b'masmir b'chayotze bo she'ev shar l'sheret litol ulahaniach muter. So he says, if you know, if it was done in a way, if you put it up in a way where it was really impossible for you know, for some sort of an animal to come and take it. Obviously, we're not talking about a case where the receptacle broke, but you know, you put it safely. You nailed it to the wall. You put it in a high cabinet. Then no animals are climbing up there. You know, no people have access to it. So then it's okay. You're allowed to walk away. You don't have to keep your eyes on the meat at all times, as long as you put it in a way where you can be sure that no one switched this meat. Comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, "V'yesh matirin basa shenei salam min ha'ayin imatzo b'makom sheinicha." And he says, some people are matir. Some people allow basa shenei salam min ha'ayin as long as you found it in the place where you left it. Which means that even that case of the broken receptacle, the broken chavis, the broken kli, but as long as that was the place where you left it, it's okay. So it makes sense that the kli broke and the meat, you know, dropped here. And that's what happened. So if that's the case, some people say that's okay as long as it's in the same place. If you see the meat, you know, 10 feet away or in a place where it's not going to just fall down, and obviously somebody was here and somebody was tampering with it, an animal, a human being, so then you have to be careful. But assuming it's right in the place where you left it, so then it's okay. Comes the Rama and says, V'haminag l'hakil k'svar ha'acharon. That's our minhag. Our custom is that we're makil, we're not so careful about basa shenei salam min ha'ayin, as long as you found the meat in the same place that you left it. You don't have to worry. Somebody switched it, somebody did it, so you don't have to worry about that. He says, and even if non-Jews handled the meat, as long as you can't buy treif meat around here, we're in a Jewish town, all the butcher shops are kosher, so you can't, we don't suspect that they, you know, imported their meat from somewhere else. You know, nowadays that last clause would be a little tricky because, since even in the Jewish communities, you have within a 5-minute drive, you know, you have plenty of treif stores. So, you know, even if you're in the heart of Williamsburg, you know, you drive 5 minutes and you know you can have treif butcher stores. So that wouldn't necessarily apply nowadays. But theoretically, if you were in a place where they only had kosher meat and you know, the nearest treif meat is far away, even if the guy were handling it, it's not a problem. You know, you assume that it's your regular kosher meat. That's the sugya of basar shenis ala min ha'ayin. So that's, we see the Shulchan Aruch here, and that's it's not so common. You know, it can happen that people, you know, lose track of their meat, and you don't know what happens. But again, assuming that you found it in the same place where you left it, so you can assume that it's okay. The real sugya of what we require all this tape for, okay, and if you notice, the tape and these and the seals are not just used for meat, right? They're not just used, but even if you order in from a dairy restaurant, you know, they tape it up, they staple it up, they close the package. They don't just, you know, hand an open bag to the non-Jewish delivery fellow and have him deliver it to your door. So the source of that is really a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, not in Chulin. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is in source number 3 on Lamed Tes, on the bottom of Amud Aleph and going on to Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chavis, which doesn't mean a barrel here, but is an acronym, Ches Beis Yud Tuf, which we'll see in a minute, Bechosam Echad. That's good enough if you have one sign. Okay, what does one sign mean? That means that if you send these items, and let's just read a little more so we see what we're talking about, Champag, which is Ches Mem Beis Pei Gimel, that's Mutar Bechosam Echad. So one of them, what's ches veiz yud tuf? So says the Gemara, chalav, basar, yayin, and tchelas. So these items, chalav is milk, basar meat, yayin is wine, and tchelas, right? Referring to tchelas for the for tzitzis. So those items, if you're sending them with a non-Jew is handling those items, asurin b'chosam echad. The Gemara says, right, this is the opinion of Rav. Actually, it's the same. Interesting, it's the same Amora as in the Gemara in Chulin. But Rav says that if you send them, you have to have two signs, two seals. You can't just have one seal. Why? Because these things were a little bit more machmir. You know, meat, we're always more machmir by the meat. Wine, we know we're always more machmir when it comes to wine. Ya'inesech, stamyenim, we spoke about that. Tcheles is used for a mitzvah. We got to be very careful with it. Who knows? Maybe it can be exchanged for another blue dye, right? You know, we're doing a mitzvah del raisa with the tcheles. We have to be careful with it. And chalav also, we're nervous, right? Chalav akum, chalav Yisrael. So we discussed that also. We're nervous about chalav. So those things require two seals, right? Require a double seal. You have to have two seals to protect them. Says the Gemara, Chiltis, Morias, Pas, and Gvina, which are other different types of fish, bread, cheese, you know, all those types of items where we're not as careful, right? We know that even though cheese, we discussed this a little bit, cheese we're a little bit more makel than when it comes to milk, because only kosher milks. I mean, still we require Chalav Yisrael. We require Chalav Yisrael for cheeses, but at the same time, we're a little bit more makel because cheese, we said at the time, if you remember, we said treif milk can't be made into cheese. Right? You can only use real kosher milk from a kosher animal to make cheese. So we're a little bit more makel when it comes to cheese. And bread, you know, we know pasakum, we know we have already some kulas for pasakum. Many of us eat paspalter. And different types of fish, those things were a little bit more makel. And therefore, mutarin bechosam echad. You need one seal. Right, you need one seal for those if you send them with a non-Jew. But what we see here is that essentially we require some sort of a siman, some sort of a chosam, says the Gemara, that if you can't just send the food with a non-Jew. Why? Because if you just send the food with a non-Jew, who knows what he's going to do? Maybe he's going to get hungry on the road, right? And he's going to eat your sandwich. And now he realizes, oy vey, I ate a Polakoff sandwich. Let me stop at Subway. And they make a similar sandwich to the one we make, and I'll get that sandwich, I'll put it in the wrapping, and I'll deliver it to his house. He won't know the difference, right? So those kind of things can happen, and that's why when it comes to meat and wine and things like that, we're machmir for two seals. Other things, we're makel for one seal.
Is this a sign, or is it actually like a little double wrap material?
No, it doesn't have to be a double wrap material. It has to be a sign. It has to be something. In other words,
the tape is...
Exactly. So it has to be something.
What's two?
So I'll get to that in a minute. So it has to be something that if the person, the delivery person, let's say, or the non-Jew would tamper with it, then it would be evident that it was tampered with, right? That's the goal here. So that's why when it comes to things that were more machmir, we require two of them. So it makes it a little trickier. When it comes to these things, you know, even one seal is good enough. You might have seen actually in the kashrus industry. When they do things, you know, they package things not so much for deliveries, but if you look at like caterers, for example, when they pack things up and they send them on the truck, so you'll see very often the mashkiach will tape it up and then he'll write something, usually in Hebrew. You know, the post can talk about the fact that Hebrew is ideal, because usually the people that you're sending with don't know Hebrew or certainly can't write Hebrew. So usually the mashkiach will like sign his name in Hebrew across the tape. So that way, even theoretically, if they would tear up the tape, you know, and try to replace the tape, but you'll see, you know, he'll do it like on the packaging and the tape. So you'll see that there's some letters here, and you'll see that some sort of a sign was broken.
What about matzah and other Pesach foods? Would that fall into the double stringency?
Okay, so that's a good question. I'm not sure if Pesach foods make a difference, even though we are generally more machmir about chametz. But you see, what's interesting is that nowadays, we don't find these double seals, right? Now, what's interesting about this is that it's clear from this Gemara, number one, this has nothing to do with meat, right, per se. I mean, meat is mentioned, but it's not just meat. The sugya in Chulin, that was just meat. Basar shenis alim in ha'ayin. That was just meat. When it comes to this sugya, it's anything, right? We're talking about fish and bread, and we're talking about any type of kosher item. Not only that, but we see it's not limited to food items, because we talk about tcheles. Right, so any item where you're talking about some sort of a kosher status versus a non-kosher status, okay, whether it's tcheles, whether it's you know, potato chips, whether it's meat, that doesn't make a difference. It's all the same when it comes to this. So if you think about this, what's the heter? Let's say you you have a mashkiach in the Hers potato chip factory, right? So he's assuring us that the Hers potato chips are kosher. But we don't have any signs or seals on these bags. We certainly don't have two. But let's say you say potato chips, you only need one. The poskim say nowadays that generally, when it comes to a chashash of an iser d'oraisa, so you need two seals. And if it's only an iser d'rabanan, so then we're lenient for one seal. But let's say potato chips, you know, you could have some tarfus and potato chips and things like that. So how do we know? Maybe it's Doritos and they switched it in the bag. You know, so most poskim say that nowadays, because the commercially produced products are sealed in a way where it would be impossible if someone tampered with a potato chip bag, you know, the delivery guy tampered with a potato chip bag, he doesn't have the equipment that's necessary to reseal the bag in a way that's clear. If you see a bag that's taped up at the top, so you know not to buy that bag. Nobody buy that anyway for safety reasons, right? But otherwise, you know, they don't have the machinery in their homes or in their trucks where they can reseal a potato chip bag. You know, if you buy some sort of a jar or a can that's sealed, you know, it's sealed. You know, we don't suspect that anybody's doing such a professional job of switching the kosher for the non-kosher that they have the ability to reseal these types of things. So anything that has like a commercial type of seal on it, where if somebody would tamper with that, it would be very evident that something had been tampered with, that somebody played around here. So those types of things, we assume that has the status of a double seal. That's the status of a double seal. Because again, the whole purpose of the double seal is just to be more strict and a little bit more careful to ensure that nothing was tampered with. But if you have these commercial seals, which are so good, and nobody can possibly tamper with them without it being noticed, and in fact, the companies, that's their goal, right? They want people to recognize if it was tampered with, because then that's a safety issue. There they have liability issues. So because of that, they make it in a way where you can't easily tamper with it. So then that's considered a double seal. So that's why you can go to the supermarket, even a Geisha supermarket, and you could buy an item that has an OU on it, and even though it's there's no mashkiach here, there's no, who knows what's going to happen, because we're not koshish, we don't suspect that anybody tampered with this type of thing. If you notice some evidence of tampering, so then there might be a shaila. And obviously, if it's something where it's not sealed, you know, it's some sort of a homemade type of thing, so then you have to be a little bit more careful when it comes to that. Okay. It's interesting. I had a shaila once. I once ordered from a restaurant. I'm not going to say which. It wasn't in this community, but so you can be rest assured. It was not here. But I ordered from a restaurant once in a different place, and I received my food, and it didn't have any tape on it. There was there was nothing sealed up. So I didn't know, who the delivery guy was. I didn't know if he was Jewish or not Jewish. You know, I don't think he was from, even if he was Jewish. So I was nervous. You know, here I got, I happened to have ordered fleishiks at that time. It was meat. And I got a delivery, and there was no seal. Nothing was taped up. You know, it was just a bag. So who knows? Maybe the guy transferred something. Maybe he switched something. So what? I think it was stapled shut, but there was no tape on it or something like that. So the question is, what's the halacha in that type of a case, right? What's the halacha in that type of a case? So comes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, and says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, Yainu Basar quotes this halacha. V'chatichas dog she'ain bo simen, right? You have wine, you have meat, a piece of fish. There's no simen, there's no sign on the food item itself. Shehifkiro sholach biyar oved kochavim, and you sent it with a non-Jew, let's say a non-Jewish delivery person. Tzarech shnei chosamos, like we learned in the Gemara. You need two signs. Aval yayin mevushol v'sheichar u'yayin she'irvu bo dvarim acherim kigon dvash v'chen achometz v'cholav v'muria supas v'gvina v'kol she'isur midivrei sofrim. Other types of things where the prohibitions are only midrabanan, where we're not as strict, as long as you have one chosam, then it's enough. Comes the Rama with a very important kula. And the Rama says, v'yesh omrim, there are those that say, rak b'Yisrael chashud. Some say that we only need two chosamos when we're talking about a Jew who we know is not religious, and we suspect that person might have tampered with it. In fact, unfortunately, I once heard from one of my rabbanim in the past that he knew of cases. This sad reality that he knew of cases of frum people who had non-frum relatives who purposely tampered with food in order to trip up their relative. Now, you know, that's not the norm. And we hope that our non-frum relatives respect our life choices, but it's not always the case. And unfortunately, these types of things can happen where people are malicious. And certainly, if it's a case of a person who's anti-frum or something like that, you have to be nervous. Says the Rama, some say that that's when you need two chosamos, when you have a real strong suspicion that someone's going to tamper with it. So then you need the double signs, then you need the double seal to make sure that it doesn't happen. Ava ba'oved kochavim. But a stam goy, a regular person, you know, who's you don't suspect that the person is malicious, you know, trying to switch around your food. Hakol sharei dechosam echad. As long as there's one sign, one seal, that's enough. Ubidiyevet yesh lismochaze. Says bidiyevet, it's enough. In that case, when I had ordered that thing, there was one seal. I think it was a staple shut. It was something. It was closed in a way. You know, there was no tape on it, which I was used to seeing the tape, you know, sealing the bag. But it was a staple shut. It was sealed shut in a way where it wouldn't be easy for the delivery guy to, you know, probably he's not carrying a stapler on him, you know, to reseal the bag. So bidiyevet, it was certainly okay with one seal, even if you don't have two. Because again, these, you know, let's say you order from a restaurant where things are not commercially sealed, and it is much easier to tamper. So then you have to, you know, you really need, if you have meat, you have to have some sort of a seal. Now, if you have, you know, good tape in a way that you can do it in a way that's you can really be sure that you don't have to worry that it was not tampered with, and then that you would be able to rely on that as well. But the Shulchan Aruch does say that you have to be careful, and he writes in let's say what would happen. Let's say b'diavad you had another shaila. Let's say you had a case where you sent it without any signs, any seals. Right? Let's say you by accident the restaurant sent it out and there were no seals though. There were no signs whatsoever. So writes the Shulchan Aruch that can be problematic depending on the situation. That's source number five. He writes im shalach al yidei oved kochavim below chosam. That if you send it with a non-Jew, without any seal whatsoever, im oso mako ma'avar l'rabim mutter shehu yarei shema yirenu echad meha ovrim v'yitfos alav keganov. So here it's interesting. They say that if the person was traveling in a place where a lot of people were walking by, so then you don't have to suspect that he switched your items. Why? Because if people saw him, you know, ruffling through the bag, you know, as he's carrying it or stopping on the side and ruffling through the bag, people saw that, they would be suspicious. They would think the guy's a ganav, and they would report him or they would arrest him or call the restaurant or something like that. So that's why it's okay bidiyevet. Now, nowadays that would be a little trickier because since nowadays all delivery guys are in cars, so it's a little, you don't know where the guy's driving. So even though he's driving on the street, first of all, it's not all from people, you know, watching where this guy's going. You know, he's driving from the restaurant to your house. He could make a million turns between then and now. And there's a ton of different tray for restaurants. So who knows what he did? And also in the car, you know, you don't know what's going on in the car. People can do things clandestinely in the car without people seeing it. The guy has tinted windows, or you know, he pulls off on a side street. So that's why, you know, in modern day delivery, I think this would be a little bit more problematic, but there is technically a heter b'diavad, assuming that people could have watched this guy and seen what he's doing, so that we're not as suspicious. However, right, so Shulchan Aruch very clearly umiyo lechatchila lo yishlach ayde over kochavim below chosam. You have to be careful, right? Lechatchila, you have to make sure that if you're sending it with a delivery person, that it's sealed up, that you have a seal there. There is one major heter, one major kula nowadays that we can rely on, especially with the Yevet, but sometimes even the Chatchila, depending on the case. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, and he has an interesting case. He's actually talking, and I don't want to get into this now. This maybe could be a whole nother shir about having a non-Jewish help in your house when you're not there. If you're there, it's not such a big deal. But having non-Jewish help in your house when you're not there, there's a several interesting, you know, and perhaps thorny halachic considerations that come into play. So this is one of them. I'm just bringing this in really for the last line, so I'll mention it, but I don't want to talk too much about it. It's really a whole topic in and of itself. Haminiach oved kochavim beveso. So he says, let's say, you know, you have a non-Jew working in your house and you leave. And let's assume that the person, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of things discussed by the poskim here, that if the person knows that you're going to pop back in, they don't know when you're coming back, so then they'll be scared to do anything. Or if you have a neighbor who's popping in that they know about, they're going to be scared to do anything. But let's say you tell them, listen, I'm going away for 2 days, right? I want you to stay and I want you to clean, you know, and do whatever. I'm leaving for 2 days. I won't be back till tomorrow night. You know, nobody's coming in. So they know. Nobody's going to be around. So that's that. Let's assume we're talking about that type of a case. Or honestly, even if you say, I'm going to work, I'll be back at 6 o'clock. You know, I'll be back. Nobody's coming into the house before then. I'll be back at 6 o'clock tonight. Ubo dvarim shim huchlefu yesh ba mafilu iser Torah. And there are things in the house that if they were switched, you could potentially run into isurei daraisa. There's chicken sitting in the fridge. You know, there's you know, you could have treif chicken being switched and things like that. Im hu yotze v'nichnas o afilu shahaz man rav lahodio shedaitu lishos mutter. So says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're Yotze v'nichnas, you're going to be in and out throughout the day, you're running errands, you're coming in, you're coming out, they don't know your schedule, so then you don't have nothing to worry about. And even if you tell them, you know, I'll be back soon, and you stay out for a couple, you know, you stay out, you end up staying out for 3 hours, but you told them you'll be back in a minute. So they didn't know that you were going to be out for 3 hours, that's also okay. We're not worried that they switched it. Even if, you know, we would pay for them to switch it. As long as you didn't lock the person in the house. Or because the person's always going to be afraid. I can't do anything because, you know, you're always nervous. The Baal Boss is going to walk in. So that's why we're not afraid that the guy's going to do anything. But if you tell them I'm going to be back at 6 o'clock, you know, it's 9 o'clock now, I'm going to be back at 6, you know, you have nothing to worry about, nobody's coming in. So then, yeah, you have to be concerned. Right? By the way, technically, that would be a thorny issue, right? Because here, you know, people leave their help in the house, you know, all day. They know they're going to work. They know they're not coming back till a few hours later. You know, they can cause a lot of damage in a kosher home in that span of time. Right? The Shulchan Aruch, a big heter here, which is important. Not to say that it gets us out of all the concerns and the issues, but it's an important heter. V'im eino nehene bechalipin. Right? The Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the person has nothing to gain. There's nothing to gain by them switching your chicken, your kosher chicken, for treif chicken. Right? Kosher chicken and treif chicken, you know, probably taste similar. It's not that the kosher chicken is going to be so much better and, you know, or something like that. And, you know, they have nothing really to gain by making a switch. So then, writes the Shulchan Aruch, mutter b'chol inyan. So then it's okay. Then we say it's mutter. We're not worried that they're going to switch something if they have nothing to gain by the switch. We're not concerned that they are trying to trip us up. We're not concerned that they're trying to be malicious. Right? Since if they have something to gain, so then we're concerned. But if they have nothing to gain, we're not really concerned that they're doing something maliciously, and therefore you don't have to worry. So this is the Shita of Tosvos, which the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like, and that's a big heter. Right, and that really, according to this, technically speaking, certainly be the Eved, you can send things without a simon. You don't have to be so concerned that the guy is going to switch things. Yeah, what does he have to gain? If he's carrying your sandwich from Holy Schnitzel, you know, what does he have to gain by eating your sandwich and switching it with something else? I mean, the guy's so starving, he can't stop and buy something, you know, to eat. It doesn't make so much sense that the person would do that. So therefore, there's room to be makil and to allow it. There are shittos that disagree with this. The Maharit and others disagree with this. But this is the shita of Tosfos, and that is how we paskin. Now, kashrus agencies don't rely on this kula. Because it is a kula, and it's and there are those that disagree. And that's why you'll always find tape and, you know, and signs and simonim and everything like that. But bidyeved, in a case where something happened, there was a mishap, and there was no sign, or there, you know, only one sign or something like that, or the seal wasn't so good, or whatever the case might be, so then there is, you know, some room to be makel in this type of a case where the person doesn't stand to gain anything. Okay, now you have to be careful that it has to be that type of a case where the person doesn't stand to gain anything. Right? If the person does stand to gain something, so then this whole thing flies out the window, and then it wouldn't apply. So, for example, you know, let's say somebody is providing, you know, somebody said they'll provide you with kosher food. Now, they stand to gain by, you know, and we're not talking about switching, right? Let's say, for example, you know, you're going to someone's house, your non-Jewish friend invites you to his house, and he says, listen, I know that I can't cook for you, and I know you can't eat at my house, so I'll order in kosher food for you. So, you know, he orders in the kosher food. Now, by the time you get there, he unpackages the whole thing, and it's sitting out there. So how do you know what it is, right? And there is a svar to say the guy stands to gain. Why? Because he called up the kosher place and he said, "How much will you charge for a pie of pizza?" And he hears the price for a kosher pie of pizza, and the guy hits the roof. And he calls his treif place down the block, and it's half the price. And he thinks to himself, "Well, what's the difference? This guy's not going to know the difference between the kosher pizza and the non-kosher pizza, and I'll save $10." right? So there is, you know, in that type of a scenario, it could be that the person has something to gain if he's gonna save money in that type of a situation. If you go there and you see the packaging is still on and he got it from the kosher place, so then it's okay. You can assume that he got it from the kosher place. But otherwise, in a case where a person does stand to gain something or does stand to save money or something of that nature, so then you would have to be careful, and you would need some sort of chosam, some sort of a seal, and tell him, listen, if you order it from the kosher place, that's fine. Just leave it and let me unpackage it, you know, just so that it'll be in its original packaging, something like that. But this is really the sugya and the idea behind this, and this is why when you order things, they do have these chosamos, they do have these seals to ensure that nobody messes around. Again, b'diyeved, if the seal's not so good, or the seal comes undone, or they forgot the seal, probably it's a good thing to do to ask a shayla, but probably, you know, the answer will be that b'diyeved, it's going to be okay in a situation where the guy didn't stand to gain anything. If there was a situation where the guy did stand to gain, so then, you know, the heter falls out, it flies out the window, and then you, even b'diyeved, you would really require these one or two chosamos. Okay?
Yeah. If it needs a seal and doesn't have one, does the status of the food change to treif? Or is it questionable, and at a later time, you might be able to actually determine that?
If you can determine somehow, you know, if you can go back to the videotape and look at the surveillance cameras and figure out, what happened, and, you know, you watch the guy the whole time and you see that he didn't switch anything, you know, technically speaking, it could be permitted, right? You're right, it is a suffix, it's more of a doubt, but since we're dealing with, even on the derabana, though, we're machmir in this type of a thing, because so it's a little more than a 50-50 doubt. You know, we suspect that something happened, and therefore we're careful, even on the derabanan, we're machmir. Usually by the derabanan, we're makel. Right, we say safek derabanan lahakel lekula, and usually we're a little bit more lenient when it comes to a doubt on the derabanan. But here, even on the derabanan, we're careful if there's no sign at all. Okay? Okay, shkoyach. We'll pick up next week. I'm not sure 100%, but somebody suggested to talk about